Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are in 1 Timothy 4:16, the last verse of the fourth chapter, the last verse that deals with the principles and actions that are necessary for a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ to have a ministry successfully blessed by God and considered to be successful by God. And so we are going to continue in that in just a moment, but thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, May 4. And may I give my heartfelt gratitude to those whose financial gifts enable us to remain on this station. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear. Perseverance. That's a quality that's very important for ministry. In fact, it's important for every child of God and every Christian who wants to please the Lord, but perseverance. In other words, do the right thing and continue doing the right thing. Take heed to yourself, and as we've seen, that has to do with the areas of the minister's personal life, particularly his fellowship with the Lord, cultivating his personal relationship with Christ, and in addition to that, take heed to the doctrine, to your teaching, to your preaching. That's the center, that's the foundation, that's the core of your ministry. And so you've got to give careful attention to what you preach and to your preaching. You've got to study so that you know what to preach. You have to study so that you are prepared to preach. Good preaching requires much preparation. And wouldn't I be presumptuous to tell others how much preparation it requires? But hours of preparation for every sermon. Many, many hours, multiplied hours of preparation for every sermon is what is required for most people. It is certainly what is required for me. I calculate that I generally give about 12 to 15 hours in preparation for a sermon. Some more, some less, but that's probably the average. And if it's a particularly difficult passage or a particularly difficult assignment, of course, it could very well take more. I had a preaching assignment some weeks ago now that I started preparing for almost 2 months before I was to preach it, and I worked at it off and on over a long period of time. I have no idea how many hours were put into preparing for that message. It was certainly more than 15. A great many more in that particular case. So it takes time. It takes time. I heard one preacher declare that he invested about 40 hours preparation in each sermon. I can't. Because I have to preach, I have to do more than just preach. If all I had to do was preach, then I could spend 40, if all I had to do was preach one time a week, then I could spend 40 hours or more preparing for one sermon. But of course, I've got more responsibilities than that, and most pastors do. Most pastors preach several times a week. There was a time when I was preaching about five times a week in my church, as well as other opportunities and responsibilities in other places. Now, in the pulpit of my church, I probably only preach on average about twice a week, and that helps. I must say I'm confident that the quality of my sermons has improved as the quantity of preaching assignments has decreased. You say, how have you been able to decrease them? Because I have other men to help me. There are a number of pastors in our church. In fact, there are some weeks when I would only preach one time in the Beacon pulpit. And other men would be taking the other assignments, but of course, then I have the radio ministry. So, and that's a six-day-a-week assignment. The one you're listening to right now, the 15-minute broadcast, is a five-day-a-week assignment, but we also have a weekly half-hour broadcast that airs on a number of stations, in fact, more stations than the weekly one, and I do those too. So every week I have to make five 15-minute radio programs and one half-hour radio program, so that's six times to speak on the radio ministry, and then however many I have from the Beacon pulpit, and then occasionally however many I have in other assignments. So it would be impossible for me to spend 40 hours preparing for one sermon, but I don't dare just wait until Saturday night. Not anymore. As a young preacher, I found that happening more often than I would care to admit. I never intended it to be that way, and that it wasn't that way every week. It happened that way sometimes, but it happened that way more often than it should. And I can remember more times than I really want to admit, coming to Saturday night and or Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and saying, "Oh, dear Father, I have done it again. I've let the week slip by." And it would always be an intensely busy week. The reason I let the week slip by without preparing until Saturday was because of the many other ministry responsibilities that kept crowding in upon me. And so my mind would be focused on those, and I'd say, "Let me take care of this and get that out of the way so that I can settle down and study without distraction." And unfortunately, there were weeks when that happened on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday. And I came to Saturday evening and I said, "Oh, Heavenly Father, please, please, please forgive me. I've done it again. Please help me this time, and I promise never to do it again." And that happened enough times. And why am I taking time to say this? This sounds kind of mundane to many people, but I know there are preachers listening to me who probably have done the same thing and maybe are doing the same thing now, and I'm trying to help you. And I did that enough times that I finally said to myself and prayed to the Lord and said, "I've got to do something. I've got to change something. This is happening too often. Obviously, something's not right in my way of approaching this." And so what I had to do was to say, "I'm going to devote my mornings to prayer and study and sermon preparation and let nothing interfere with that unless it is a major emergency. It's got to be a big one." And I found that when I did that, that solved the problem. Then I had several hours every day devoted to sermon preparation, protected from distractions. And after I got accustomed to this, and my church got accustomed to this, and the secretaries got accustomed to this, and associate pastors got accustomed to this, and everybody got accustomed to this, it worked pretty well. It was a little bit difficult to get started in the first place, but everybody understood the need for it and agreed that this was a good way to do it. And I just said, "You know, my mornings are going to be for sermon preparation. Please don't look for me to do anything else in the morning. If it's a genuine emergency, I'll be there. Lord willing, let me know. I'll be there. But please make it a big, big emergency, or else just let it wait. I'll address everything else in the afternoons." It's amazing how simple that was and how well that works. Now, occasionally I'll still have people that, usually people outside my church, that will contact me and want me to meet them for breakfast, want me to to meet them mid-morning, want me to do this or that, and I just have to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that. I have to protect my mornings for study. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Now, I will meet for a fairly early breakfast if somebody wants to meet at 6:30 or 7. That's okay. If it's not going to be a long one, then I can get back to my study and get in a good full morning. But a lot of times people want to meet at 8 or 8:30 for breakfast. I can't do that. By the time I'm done with that, it's 10 or 10:30 by the time I get back to my study. That's too much time that has been stolen. I don't want to say wasted. It's almost always valuable opportunities, but that's just too much time. I can't do it. I can't do it and give the appropriate amount of time and attention to my sermons. I've got to protect that time. And I thank people for understanding that. And our people do understand that. And others come to understand that. And I know not every pastor operates that way, but I think many would be helped if they did. I think many a pastor is in the same frame of activity that I was in my early years, and probably are having the same struggles that I was having, and probably are coming to the end of the week more often than you would like to admit to say, you know, I'm not really prepared. Oh, Lord, please help me. And scrambling for this, scrambling for that, reaching into the file, trying to pull something out that was preached before and see if you can rework that, rehash it, make it fresh enough that people don't recognize it as something you preached before. But, you know, if you do that very often, everybody has to do that once in a while because of emergencies that arise. But if you do that very often, people are going to know that it's stale, even if they don't recognize it, even if they don't say, ah, yeah, I heard that. I remember when you preached that last year. Not very many people are going to have that good of memory, unfortunately. You wish they did. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people remembered sermons that well? Not many people are going to do that, though I have had people in my congregation. I have one man in particular who takes notes on every sermon and records them. He writes in his Bible on a text when I preached on that text. And he's come up to me after a sermon and said, you know, I remember when you preached that sermon, and he'll mention a date 12 years ago, when you preached on that text 12 years ago. And I will say, well, you're right. It was a different sermon, but I did preach on that text 12 years ago. Or sometimes I will say, you're right. I felt the need to preach that text again. I was burdened to preach that text again. And I reworked the sermon that I preached 12 years ago. You're the only one who recognized that that had been preached before. And I assure you, it wasn't exactly the same this time, but you're right. But that's very rare. I have one man who does that. I guess he keeps me on my toes. But I promise you, I don't do that very often. It has to be an emergency or truly a burden that the Lord won't take from me that I've got to preach that text. Even though I preached it before, I've got to preach that text. But if you do that too often, you do sound stale, even if you don't think so. And people are going to wonder, why? Why am I not being fed? Why doesn't this not sound fresh? Why does our preacher sound like he's forcing himself to try to be enthusiastic about this message when there really doesn't seem to be any excitement, enthusiasm, delight in it? Well, it's because he didn't prepare fresh bread from the oven. It's stale, and we need not to do that. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.